Good afternoon. It is 12:02, and it's a cold, but not as cold as it was yesterday, day. Welcome to Thursday. I'm Eric Scott, and we're joined by Wolfboro Select Board member, Brian DeShays. Brian, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Eric.
All right. How's it going?
Very good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy your holidays?
Oh, busy, though.
Are you sure that's the right mic?
I have mic 4.
Okay.
That's... Oh, wait. Sorry. I have mic 1.
I have 1. Let's try that.
There. Better?
No. How about that?
Mic 2.
Oh, there we are.
Mic 2.
There it is. There you are. Okay. I knew something was wrong. Okay. Did you enjoy your holidays?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Have fun?
Yeah, we got to see family a couple of times, which was nice. Everybody's vaccinated and boosted, and we've been careful. My parents are in their 80s, so we have to make sure that that they don't get sick. They'd probably be okay, but still, it's we don't want them, you know. If I have the flu, I don't go see them.
Right.
If I have a regular head cold, I don't see them. When they're in their 80s, we want to, you know, keep them as healthy as possible.
Yeah, I've been battling this cold for about a week. And like I was just before air, I've been tested 4 times this week. if you count last weekend.
The mouth swab now or the nose?
Nasal swab.
Because they do mouth swabs. They're actually saying that there's a new mouth swabber that they can swab the mouth, and it's actually better now.
I've heard of that, but finding tests has become a problem.
Yes.
And finding instant tests is even a bigger problem.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's great if you want to wait 3 to 5 days for your results. That's terrific, but...
Yeah, then you have to hibernate.
Right. That doesn't do me much good. I'm sure my boss wouldn't be very happy with that. But
no,
anyway.
No remote working from home? You don't have a studio in the basement?
I do. Actually, I do. But there's still some things that I have to do from here. I understand there was a brouhaha about Christmas tree lighting.
Yeah, so this was unusual. What happened was we've been lighting the tree the same way forever and ever and ever.
It was gorgeous, by the way.
Yes, it was a really nice tree this year. There was, we don't need to do names, but there was someone who applied for a job at the town and was turned down, and he called the state fire marshal and told the state fire marshal that our tree, because he knew electrical work, that our tree was not in compliance, that it wasn't GFI protected, and it could be a hazard. So, talking to the state fire marshal, our town manager managed to say, okay, can we leave it on through the holiday season? We'll fix it next year. And he said, how long? And they said they agreed on the 28th. So we had it operating through the 28th, and then we had to shut it off. Well, on New Year's Eve morning, some citizens decided that they wanted the tree lit again. Uh-huh. So they went up in a bucket truck, and it's on Facebook, and everybody can see it. One dressed in a Grinch costume, and they replugged the tree in to a generator on the ground so that they could operate it. But the generator was giving a odor into Black's paper goods store, and it kept shutting off because it didn't have a GFI connection. All right, so the town got together when the town manager was made aware that this was going to be happening. And he went down and got the fire and the police chief together, and someone from the municipal electric department. And they looked at it and they said, "Well, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do?" And actually, worked with the citizens and had them plug in the tree with an extension cord with a no-trip hazard into a GFI at Bradley's Hardware Store.
Okay.
So, what does this tell us?
Well, score 1 for Bradley's Hardware.
Yeah. Score 1 for citizens. It came up with initiative and an idea.
Yeah.
Score 1 for the town. Because guess what? When push came to shove, the town manager, police, fire, electric department rallied and said, okay, let's do this for one day. let's have it so that guests and the citizens of Wolfboro can have their Christmas tree for New Year's Eve. It's going to be turned off tonight anyways after the fireworks. Let's do it. So during this brouhaha, I actually talked to a couple of the people that were involved in the original relighting. And I said to them, you want to know something? Great idea. Absolutely perfect. Next time, call me. Call the town manager. Call me and I'll be down to the town manager's office as quick as you can to propose your suggestion. Do you see how it worked out and it was reasonable in the end?
Sure.
So I want people to know, look, you can come to the selectmen. I'll answer my phone anytime. 6 a.m. till midnight. If I don't get it right away, it's because something's up and I'll call you right back. And if you have an idea, we will look at it and take it seriously. And we'll make your tree light. So the bad part is, can't have citizens doing things under their own accord.
Right.
They had a bucket truck up by the wires. And they were using high voltage.
Yeah, I can see all sorts of liability issues here.
Yeah, they weren't trained linemen.
Ooh.
They weren't town employees.
All right, well, A for effort.
They were just citizens. Something could have gone really wrong. Now, they'll say, oh, we knew what we were doing. That's well and good, but that's the thing that worried me, is I said, someone could get seriously hurt from this. And that's what we don't want to have happen. Because then, now the fire marshal's really going to get involved, and the state's going to get involved, and the town's going to get in trouble, and these citizens are going to get in trouble. So it was nice that all's well that ended well. But I implore people, please, come talk to us. We will listen. And everybody basically knew that the majority of people in town wanted the tree lit. I bet you couldn't find anyone that said, no, I want it out. If they wanted it out only because we were ordered to and because they now believed it was unsafe also. But if you asked anybody in town, do you want a safe tree lit? Do you think anybody would have said no?
No.
No. So come to us. We'll help you.
Now, that's not the only story that's been going around lately. There was another one. Oh yeah, I remember now. It's the bike trails. Yes. Those are important. A lot of people love those.
Yeah. So we have trails in Sewell Woods. They're not ours. They're the Lakes Region Conservation Trust.
Okay.
They were built by the Single Track Alliance. They didn't have permission from Lakes Region Conservation Trust to build them, though. The trails in Sewell Woods that are stone dust trails were built by the Lakes Region Conservation Trust. Their plan to add value for the cross-country skiing. There are a lot of trails that aren't stone dust covered that are just natural virgin trails that people walk and people snowshoe and people still ski in the winter. But the Single Bike Alliance went in and started taking the snowshoe trails and turning them into bike trails a couple years back, and then got in trouble with the Lakes Region Conservation Trust and had to sign an MOU of understanding with them. They said, okay, you can keep these trails. These trails have to go away. We're going to make sure that they're maintained now. You did add some value to it, but you shouldn't have done it without our permission. Okay. So the Single Track Alliance was looking at expanding the snowshoe trails up at the hill behind Abernathy. Well, mm-hmm. It also happens to be town property. It also happens to be a retired spray field where we would take clean effluent from our sewage disposal system and spray it on the ground. It has become saturated over the years, and the state said we needed a permanent solution. Hence, we have a new RIB site out on the Wolfboro-Tuftonboro line where we dispose of our effluent now in basins. And very, very good system, by the way. Dave Ford, kudos. He's worked really hard over that for 10 years to make that system. When he came in, he was fighting the state. We had a sewer moratorium. We had a water moratorium. Things were shut down. It was tough. But anyways, the Single Track Alliance decides that they want to have some trails built. They had a business owner in town who was sick of going to Tilton with his kids to do mountain biking, so decided he would give a huge donation to the town or to the Single Track Alliance in order to build the trails. What he actually did was he went through a gentleman, Andrew Lester, who has a company that builds trails, who's a local resident. And in order for Andrew Lester to take the money to build the trails, the money had to come from a nonprofit. So the donor went to the Single Track Alliance, gave them the money. The Single Track Alliance issued the money to Andrew Lester, and he started building trails up there. Now, these are very technical trails. You're talking jumps and whoops and bank corners and what hardcore mountain bikers use. But why are they on town land? Town land, by state RSA, is under the control of the Board of Selectmen of the town.
Right.
I guess our town planner was approached and asked about some kind of trail project, shown a master plan of what they would look like, and asked if what he thought about it at a couple of meetings. He made the determination that to improve upon the trails would be a good idea. It should have gone to the town manager. It should have gone to the Board of Selectmen. Instead, they went in and they created a whole bunch of very large, very expensive trails that now the Board of Selectmen, when we found out, have put it on hold, because we have to look at the liability on town property, people getting hurt, mm-hmm. the impact on fire and rescue if someone gets hurt and they have to go up the mountain to get them, the impact on we may need if we need to expand our sewage disposal system, we still have the opportunity to use that property for that purpose by revisiting the spray fields, upgrading them, and still using them for effluent disposal. So this was not a good idea. So that's where we are with that project right now. There's going to be a lot of people that are like, great bike trails, going to bring more people to town. People love this. It's outside activity. There's going to be a faction of people that also say people can't just go into town property and do whatever they want.
Right.
Because that's owned by everybody. The people who snowshoe on those trails during the winter or hike those trails in the summer now have big swaths that look like main roads going through there that they might not appreciate.
Well, what do you say to somebody who said, you know what, it's about time somebody took the bull by the horns and did this anyway, rather than going through the proper channels, which can be, as you know, much better than I, a bit of a process?
Well, I say, look at the library rebuilt through town channels. Look at the town hall rebuilt through town channels. Look at how Pop Whalen is going to raise $2.7 million and go through town channels. And look at the guys who wanted to light the Christmas tree. All they had to do was talk to us first, and it probably would have happened. So you have to. You can't just have citizens going rogue and doing whatever they want, because some people are going to like it, but some people are not going to like it. And it's for the Board of Selectmen to make sure that the town property is protected, and it's for the voters in town to decide what they want to spend and what they want on their town property. Yeah. It's going to cost $30,000 to $40,000 a year to maintain those trails and not let them degrade.
That much.
And we're going to have to up our insurance policy. The hill, the ski hill, costs about $10,000 extra on our insurance policy. So are the bike trails going to be $10,000 more? So are we going to be spending $40,000 to $50,000 a year to maintain those trails? Do people use them for free? Do you have to have somebody, are they buying a ticket like when they cross-country ski? if they get hurt on a mountain, you know what it costs for fire and rescue and ambulance and everything to pull them out?
Thousands.
Yes. Who pays for that? Did they pay for that? It's on town property. Are we legally responsible? None of these questions were answered.
Hmm.
And our town planner should have known that RSA requires that the Board of Selectmen make that decision.
Okay. What would the selectmen have said to this proposal?
We would have looked at it, like everything.
Right.
And we would have said, put together a business plan, like okay. like Pop Whalen has just done. Show us the cost-benefit analysis of this. Show us what it's going to cost the taxpayers, where the funding's going to come from, who's going to build it, who's going to use it. I mean, I can see this. I can see two 10-year-old kids going up there on their little bikes and deciding they're going to go for a roller coaster ride down the mountain, and one of them could get hurt.
Yeah, it's possible.
You know what I mean? And it's not a bike trail that everybody in town can use. So if it costs $50,000 a year and the taxpayers are paying for it, but then only a very small portion of people can actually use it because they just physically can't. Almost anybody can ride a bike down the rail trail if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You know the rail trail in town.
Yeah.
Not everybody can ride this. This is technical, hardcore mountain biking, off-road biking. So the trails are beautiful. They're constructed well, although I was seeing washout on them already. But it's something that now we got to go back to square zero. Now what do we do? What if it goes to a decision on the voters in town and they say no? What do we do with half-built trails in the middle of the woods?
It's a very good question.
Do we remediate it and have it go back to nature and pay the make the Single Bike Alliance and the company that installed them make them disappear at their cost? Or now is it one of these situations that happens all the time? I did the wrong thing, slap my hand, and let's finish.
Right. I can see that.
Which is, that's not the way it should be. It shouldn't be that someone who has deep pockets, who doesn't live in Wolfboro, can say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this on town land. And you know what? By the time they figure it out, it'll be too late.
Rather asking forgiveness than permission.
Correct. And costing taxpayers a lot who don't have lots of extra money to foot the bill going forward.
Hmm. Now, is there any chance of that becoming a warrant article?
We're just in the early stages. We just had to put the brakes on it and say no more construction of the trails. And there's a committee that's been formed, and we're going to start doing. And it's a fair committee. It has members of the Conservation Commission. It has members of the Single Bike Alliance. It has members, all five of the Board of Selectmen are on this. That's how important this is.
Okay.
These trails supposedly $525,000 to construct.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Quite a bit.
People say bike trails, they're like, oh, yeah. So, like, these are not little paths through the woods that like deer walk on. These are big trails. And so we have to figure this out. It's going to be an interesting spring, summer next
year.
Figuring out what. Yeah, once budget season is over and elections are over, that's one thing that we're going to be diving into.
1221 here in WASR. We're talking with Brian Deshays, Wolfboro select person, select board member, I guess is probably the better term.
That works.
There are a whole bunch of things coming up. In the latest budget, you were kind enough to give me a sheet here, made some notes. The biggest one by far is the Pop Whalen renovation project.
Yes.
Now, our own Mike and the Hoss have already been on record as complaining that the Whalen is not in optimum condition. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
But this looks like a lot of money, $4.7 million.
Yeah, well, the whole project is $6.9 million. The town citizens would have to pay for a bond 20-year bond of $4.2 million, and the Friends of Pop Whalen are raising $2.7 million. So they're paying for 38% of this project, and by the way, the town of Wilkesboro didn't pay anything to build the original facility. It was all paid for by donations and grants, and companies came in and they poured the foundation for nothing. And the steel building was donated to the town, and then contractors in the area put it together for no charge. So a lot like the Sugar Maple playground behind the Carpenter School was built, where the community raised $60,000, and then everybody showed up with their backhoe and their shovels and their pitchforks, and they put that together. That's the way we used to do it in Wolfboro. So this would be paid for by 38% of it by the Friends of Pop Whalen. So they paid for the whole thing the first time, and now they're paying for 38% of it this time. So it is a lot of money. There's been a very nice business plan done on it that anybody can get a copy of. It's going to be on the town website, and you can go to the town hall, and you can, I'm sure that they'll give you a copy of it, or you can contact the Friends of Pop Whalen. I believe it's friendsofpopwhalen.org, and they have their nonprofit site set up, and you can see what the rink will look like when it's all done. And you can donate on their site also.
It is beautiful. The artist renditions are really, really nice.
Yeah. I asked that meeting last night, and it was probably silly. I said, can we make sure the kids take care of it? Because when a 10-year-old kid loses a hockey game,
right,
there's not a lot of self-control.
Well, that's what coaches and parents are for, you'd hope.
Yeah, especially, I equated it to, look at our art center. Have you been to the art center at our high school?
Not lately, no.
It looks the same as the day it was put in, because it's been a focus to let's take care of this very expensive building.
Right.
Let's have pride in our buildings and the money that the taxpayers gave to us to do something like this.
It is amazing in terms of what Kingswood offers its students as far as athletics.
Yes.
You know, when
the only thing we don't have is a pool.
Yeah, which is funny that the one thing growing up we did have was a pool, but we didn't have, you know, we didn't have an ice rink, we didn't have skiing or golf or anything like that that the student athletes get to play, and it's a very special place. It really
and
is.
Worked in this part of the $2.7 million from the Friends of Pop Whalen, Brewster is contributing too.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Because they use the rink.
Right.
And Pop Whalen, he was originally a Brewster student.
That's true.
And a Brewster hockey coach.
And we're not talking a whole lot of money on the tax rate. According to this, in 2023, it's 15 cents.
Per thousand.
Right, per thousand.
Well, that doesn't look like much, but that if you compare it to a lot of other projects in town, it is an expensive project.
Well, it's the biggest one by far.
If you look at doing a $700,000 project on the dock side, the third phase of it, that's only a 4 or 3%, a 4 or 3 cent increase on the tax rate. So, and a lot of other projects that you would see with big money, there's zero tax rate impact, and that's something that if people want more information, they can call me. My number is on the town website, my cell number. I'll talk to them anytime, and I'll try and explain to them how a lot of the money that we get for these projects are from the state revolving fund. They're loans. There is loan forgiveness. If the project is done, complete, and approved, that you'll get some forgiveness on a portion of the loan, 10, 20, 30%. Right now, the American Rescue Plan Act called ARPA is giving lots of grants, 50% grants for anything that has to do with water and sewage and infrastructure. So a lot of our projects that are going forward now are going forward because we're only paying 50 cents on the dollar, and the bonds that we're taking under 2%.
Right.
Some of them only a little bit over 1% for bonds.
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's you're basically just using, you know, free money.
Right.
It's not costing you anything. And people have to realize this. All the electrical upgrades in town, everybody's seen those new poles going in? And I'll tell you why there's two poles everywhere. Everybody's been asking me, why are there two poles? How come they're not taking the other poles down? Cable company. Cable company has till 2026 or 2024 or something to move their lines. So until they move their lines, because we don't own them,
right?
We have two poles there. Eventually, their lines will be moved to the poles and they'll be gone. But all that electrical upgrade to what's now the modern standard in the country has not cost anybody anything on their taxes. It's paid by your the payment that you pay on your electrical bill.
Right.
And we just signed a new 5-year contract, and our electrical rate has stayed actually the exact same as it was.
Wow.
So that means over 10 years, everybody's electric rate has been the same, and over 10 years, that money that you pay the electric company put those poles in basically no charge. It came out of what you pay. And we have the lowest electric rate in the state and either the first or second in all of New England.
That I believe. I've seen Wolfboro bills as compared to Eversource bills or co-op bills.
Yep.
And it's amazing.
Yep.
The town I grew up with had their own municipal light plant.
Yep.
And I was amazed when I moved out of my house in my 20s how much electricity cost when you don't have, a municipal plant.
So people can call me and I will explain it the best I can. This is my first year, of course, digging this deeply into budgets. I sat on the budget committee. Things have gone very, very smoothly. We're looking at a very, very small increase in the tax rate, even with all these projects going on. I implore the taxpayers to vote their heart and their conscience. They don't need to really, yes, you can look at it, and it's going to say recommended by the Board of Selectmen, recommended by the Budget Committee. That's state regulation. We have to put that on the warrants.
Right.
But it's okay. Don't trust us 100%. Use your own judgment, because there may be things that just don't fit you, and that's okay.
Well, for argument's sake, for instance, let's take, number 12 here, the seasonal water line replacement bond, which is $500,000.
Yep.
If that gets...
240 citizens.
Right.
So $500,000
right.
is what we pay.
It's a lot of money for 240 citizens.
Now, if you notice, there's no impact on the tax rate because... The money supposedly will come out of the general water fund.
Right.
So, but why should 6,000 people in town pay $500,000 for the benefit of 240?
Right.
We're all a community. When I built my house, I paid a $6,000 water hookup. If you bought a piece of land in town, or you bought an old house that had a failed well and you wanted to hook up to the water system because you could, you'd pay $6,000.
Okay.
So I believe that when we convert from the seasonal water lines to a full-time water line, they're going to end up getting a benefit to their property. They'll now be able to use their property year-round.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be able to expand their property and make it larger, add more bathrooms, more bedrooms, whatnot. So there will be a connection fee associated with these water lines going from seasonal to year-round. Maybe at a 50% discount. Some people are saying that it should be at the full rate. That everybody else pays the full rate, they should just pay the full rate. Because then you open up doors. Okay, so they were going to pay 50% of it. Now someone builds 70 units of apartments in town. And they say, so I don't want to pay $6,000 for each hookup to these. Can I pay $3,000 like the seasonal waterline people did?
Right. But on the other hand, I mean, that can eat up a budget really, really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It just seems that there are a lot of things that the town ends up paying for, I think, and
yeah,
you know.
So if there's 200,
I wonder that it why it does.
Yeah, if there's 240 homes and we collected $3,000 per home, that would be enough to pay for this project.
Right,
and that's the way it should be done.
Right. Some interesting.
One last thing. My parents live in Chelmsford, Mass.
Okay.
When the sewer line came up the street, they've always had town water. They were on the end of the line. We had the worst water on the planet, hard as a rock. And when the sewer line came in front, the town knocked on the door, sent the letter, and said, "You will hook up to the sewer line."
Yeah, I remember that happening in Peabody.
Yeah, and my father's like, "My septic system works just fine. Doesn't matter." You will hook up to the sewer connection, and it's going to cost you this.
I think, if I remember right, it was $1,500, and this was in the mid-1970s.
Yeah, so I remember it being, I can't remember the exact dollar for my father's, but it was substantial at the time also, and he had no choice.
Right.
So I equate it to this. If we're giving them a benefit, even if they don't want it, you know, it's... You have to contribute to the infrastructure of the community.
Yeah, but if you decide to keep your house on a septic system, you know, should that be your choice?
Well, the reason why they want that change is for why? Environmental reasons.
Yeah.
It's much better for the environment if you collect everybody's refuse, take it, treat it, and dispose of it correctly, instead of having, you know, if there's 35,000 people in Chelmsford and 10% of them have failing septic systems, that's a lot of pollution.
Yeah.
And especially here, we have a lot of homes that on the water. The original plan, do you know there was an original master plan at one time to have a sewer line go around the entire Lake Winnipesaukee and pick up every house that's on the waterfront?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's just never made it. There's a portion of it in Laconia, there's a portion of it in Meredith, there's a portion of it in Guilford, but that's where it all ended. It was a grandiose plan in the 70s, I believe, to get it done. It would be a great plan. It's just, it became cost prohibitive.
Do you think that cities and towns could actually work together to get that kind of thing done in this day and age?
Who knows? we're looking at replacing our pump stations, and I have the books that tell the history of the pump stations. They were built in the 30s and the 40s in town. They've been had their pumps replaced. Some of them were two-speed pumps. Now they're down to one-speed pumps, but they have newer pumps in them. Some of the electrical control panels are all obsolete and junk, and these pumps are run with different control panels. But it is amazing to look at the buildings that were built in the 30s and how they're still holding together today.
Mm-hmm.
And still operational. Now, when we have huge storms and tons of extra runoff and stuff, they're taxed, and they're not the most sanitary facilities for people to work in and to clean. They're not easy to make sure you get grease and clogs out of these huge pump stations and these underground wells when there's issues. But it is amazing that 30s technology. You know what I mean? And the buildings are still holding together. So we're going to be rebuilding both of those this year. One of them is paid for 100% by money that is in the town coffers from a lawsuit that happened years ago when we were told by the state we needed to upgrade our sewage disposal system. We weren't in compliance. Dave Ford stepped in. There was some engineering done. They tried to... install a system. He monitored it very closely, found out that it wasn't working efficiently, found out that the engineering was not done correctly, that it wasn't built correctly. The town had a lawsuit with the company. We got $5 or $6 million, and that money has been used to upgrade our septic disposal system and to maintain other aspects of it. So we're going to use the last remaining piece of that to rebuild one pump station, and the other pump station will be funded almost 50% by the ARPA money, because ARPA money is basically used for sewer and water treatment and water delivery and infrastructure.
And that was part of the original, was it $1.1 or $1.2 trillion bill that came out of Washington?
Correct. And it's we have a lot of money that's coming to us. We're going to be doing some engineering. Where is it? We're going to be doing some engineering for water line upgrades. It's only $125,000. It's the beginning of engineering for a project. Do you know how old our water mains are?
I'd say probably some of them are going on 100 years.
No.
Okay.
Some of them, or the main ones, were put in 1880s.
1880s?
1880s.
So more than 100 years.
Yes. So you're looking at 130, 140 years. Now, we're sure that there's got to be some leaks.
Right.
Our water is cared for, tested, and we know that there's no lead in them, in our water. But they used to use lead joints a lot of times at these pipes. And this, the state and the federal government is saying, when possible, remove lead. Why? Why would they say that?
Because it hurts people.
Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, with that too.
All lead pipes.
But, I mean, we all know that lead is dangerous.
So, but our water is clean and healthy and safe. Everybody feel good about drinking your water. It's good. I drink the tap water all the time. Again, we'll be looking at ARPA money going forward to help replace those water lines. I mean, they're still working, but at 130 years old, it's time for them to be. That's going to be a huge project.
Yeah.
That's going to be a huge project going forward. But this is the time that we're getting financial assistance for things like that. What else are we working on?
Well, the one thing I wanted to talk to you about are the road upgrades.
Yes.
There's more than $1 million there.
That's every year.
That's every year.
Every year.
In now, upgrading and maintaining pavements.
Yeah. Aren't Wolfboro's roads perfect?
They're very good.
They're good, but they're good compared to a lot of towns because we spend $1 million a year. Right now, the whole Berrywood subdivision, if you drive down in that area, it's on the right side of Forest Road. When you go down Forest Road, I have friends who live in there. The roads are in really, really rough shape. And all the water and drainage that goes from North Main Street through that neighborhood ends up down in Winter Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So it behooves us to take and make sure that all the drainage on those streets is captured and not allowed to go unfiltered into Winter Harbor. And so it becomes a whole infrastructure project, not just capping the roads, but replacing all the drainage, the swales, everything along the sides, and then rebuilding the roads, checking the grades, and then creating it so that you're protecting Winter Harbor. We know that Winter Harbor had a cyanobacteria outbreak a couple of years ago. And they say that almost every single time you have that, it's because of runoff coming from properties into the water. So this year it is up a little bit. It's $1.3 million. Usually we spend $1 million. Our default budget this year is only $263,000 less than our proposed budget. The default budget is the budget keeping everything flat from last year. The only increases would be fixed costs that we're not allowed to change, which would be salaries and insurances and employee contracts.
Fuel, postage,
all the stuff that we have no control over. I mean, you see what gas has done. Gas has gone up, 30 or 40%. Our budget is very reasonable this year. It's a very good budget. Now, I can't say this is true, but I've heard that the school budget is actually going down.
Oh.
Maybe it's grants. Maybe it's grants because of the pandemic. So maybe it's because a lot of programs have been cut back. Sports were on hold for a year. Sports are, things have become a little bit less. And so maybe they've been able to cut their budget. But I had somebody actually tell me that if things fall into place, that our taxes probably won't go up this year. If they go up at all, they actually may go down a few pennies. We'll have to see.
Well, that would be nice. When is the meeting? They're in March, right?
The deliberative session?
No, the town meeting.
Yeah, that's called the deliberative session. Where?
Oh, okay.
I think we just approved that as February 8th? Is it February 8th? I'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay, but it's near there.
Yeah.
We do have a call. Let's see if we can find out what's going on. Good afternoon. You're on WASR.
Hey, Eric. Hey, hey, Dad. This is Representative Brody DeShays. Just calling in regarding the school's budget. The school's operating budget, its entire budget, went 3.25%. However, the portion of property taxes taxpayers in Wolfboro will pay towards the school's budget, right, the price per $1,000, that will go down about 30 cents, right? So between the town of Wolfboro's budget, the county budget, and the school district's budget, which is what people's property taxes go towards, none created a tax increase for voters in Wolfboro or Tuftonboro, right? Tuftonboro's Board of Selectmen and the portion of the school budget that Tuftonboro residents pay for also decreased. So just to clarify, so the school's operating budget is up. It's below inflation, right? Inflation just hit 7%, right? So it's half of inflation, 3.25%, but the amount that Wolfboro taxpayers will pay towards the school's budget will be less because of the way that we do our formula for what each town pays into the school district budget, just to clarify.
Okay. Now, does that also include ARPA money as well?
Yes. So what they have is an ARPA money. They have ESSER funding, right, which is it's under the ARPA plan. And it's under, I believe, the plan before that, possibly, but definitely under the ARPA plan. They have three stages of ESSER funding, and I can't remember exactly what the acronym stands for, but it's like education, secondary, blah, 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 blah. But it's essentially, it comes in three parts, and it's designated to help improve learning loss from students, right? So it's going to help improve after-school programs, summer school programs, improve technology in the schools, for any kind of future remote learning and improve the curriculum. So the whole goal of the ARPA money that goes to schools is, yes, a lot of it will be grants towards infrastructure, specifically HVAC, but a lot of that federal money is going to be to offset learning loss, because nationally and in New Hampshire, we saw dips in standardized testing, we saw dips in student achievement, because at-home learning is very difficult, especially for younger students. We've seen a major loss in learning amongst children. So.
I do appreciate it, Brody. Thank you for filling in the details.
Yep, just wanted to make sure that we got that right, because I'm the one who gave Selectman DeShays those details, and he never takes down notes, so he always forgets. But only when he takes notes about his Board of Selectmen. Forget about everything on the Board of Selectmen, though, and I'm very happy to see that our Board of Selectmen, led by Selectman DeShays, were able to prevent the budget from increasing any more than $200,000. And that $200,000, $260,000, I think he said, is going towards hard infrastructure. So rest assured, between the state decreasing its budget 3% level funding, the town of Wolfboro basically level funding, and the school board managing its costs very well, Wolfboro property taxpayers will see for the first time, and I can't even, since Moses built his shack, we'll see a property tax decrease. And that's huge. That's huge in this inflationary period that we're going right now, this absolutely terrible fiscal policy coming out of the federal government. So kudos to Selectman DeShays. Kudos to Representative McDonald, Senator Bradley, Governor Sununu. Kudos to the school board. Kudos to all those local boards that really helped make this, really helped get this done, the county delegation. you know, we're really making it happen. But I'll let Sleckman DeShays reclaim his interview. I'll stop patting everyone on the back.
Yeah, you didn't thank the rest of the select board, though.
I said the select board led by you, and you might not be the leader, but I know you were leading for fiscal sanity and responsibility. But yeah, thanks to the to everyone, you know, Linda and Luke and Dave and Brad. You know, they obviously contributed too, but you know, I felt as if you're a voice of reason, being the board of selectmen that sits on the budget committee with Representative McDonald and you know, other folks like Bob Tuffer and, you know, John Burt, who really have they really look at every single line of that town budget and make sure all of it's being apportioned to things that help taxpayers and that we're not spending like drunken sailors like they do in D.C. So it's important.
All right.
Thank you, Brody.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Take care. Always nice to hear from Brody.
Yes, it is. I hear from him a lot.
He should probably be here on Friday when my guest will be State Senator Jeb Bradley. Usually Brody comes along with those and adds his insights to it. A couple of things I want to talk about reserve funds while we have some time here. Now, a reserve fund is not money, correct me if I'm wrong, not money you're going to spend today. Mm-hmm. This is money you're saving up.
We have to, by state law, keep a certain amount of money in our general fund. We can't spend our general fund down to nothing.
Okay.
There's a percentage. I can't remember exactly what the percentage of our total budget is. I think it's 6%. But every department has a reserve fund in case they have unexpected costs.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't use the fund from the Parks and Rec to fix something in the water department.
Right.
And so on and so on. So their funds stay where they are. There are enterprise funds. There are operating funds. We have capital reserve funds that go towards, we collect money, like for the ladder truck. Everybody saw $190,000 and Wolfboro's buying a new ladder truck. What they didn't really see was that there was a fund that for 10 years they had been putting money into to buy the ladder truck.
Right.
Everybody just kept voting yes on it. Oh, they need more equipment at the fire department. And they didn't understand why. But then all of a sudden when they heard that we were buying, so it says to appropriate money for a ladder truck. And it's only $190,000. People don't think about it. But then the last Warren article says to appropriate $190,000 and purchase a $3 million ladder truck. Then people are like, what? We're buying a $3 million. It wasn't three. I think it was 2.2, right. 2.3. We're buying a $2.3 million ladder truck.
But you've been saving up for it for the last 10 years.
But the citizens didn't understand. Right. They don't understand that. They don't. Right. The Warren articles are very, very confusing. They have to be written a certain way by state regulations. And I implore people, again, to call and ask, and I'll explain things the best I can. Because when we take in right now, we're going to be replacing the dispatch unit at the police station.
Yes, Chief Rondo's talked about that.
Correct.
Here.
And do we wait until the new police department is done, get it, and only install it once? Do we buy it now and maybe hedge inflation? Or maybe we'll have a recession. It'll be cheaper in 3 years. Who knows? Do we put it in now? Chief is concerned that every time you install and uninstall, because it's a unit. It's not just sits on a, it's not right. People think of a CB that sits on a countertop.
Right.
It's not. It's a wall of equipment. And so we've been putting $50,000 a year into that account over the years, 150 one year, then 100, then 50, 50, and then 100, and towards the dispatch unit. And saving it over the years so that when we get to the point where ours is now 20-something years old, we can buy a new one before it dies. It already had one major failure and had to be rebuilt. So we're starting to do that more and more with what we know will be big ticket items further down the road.
As opposed to a bond issue.
Yeah, as opposed to waiting until something big breaks and then all of a sudden say, well, citizens of Wolfboro, we need $280,000.
Right.
Isn't it better to, I budget my life, you budget your life. People have car payments. People have rent payments. You don't pay all your rent up in January, and you don't let your rent fall back for 3 years and then try and come up with $6,000 or $10,000 or $15,000, whatever, to pay your rent. Everybody budgets. And that's the way that the town is starting to do it more and more over the years, and it works very, very well.
Hmm. What are some of the other things that the Board of Selectmen are working on right now? Or is this kind of taking all of your time?
First, we start with budget committee. And I had 17 budget meetings. And I have another one tonight. As Brody said, as Representative Deshay said, we go through each budget line by line. We look at the five-year costs. We look at what was spent for actuals and what is proposed for next year and ask, why is it different? If it is, why is it more? Why is it less? There are times when we say, is that enough? Because we see that, say, for maintenance for the police vehicles, they've been spending $57,000 a year, and then all of a sudden they say, oh, well, we only need $12,000 next year. We may ask, well, why do you only need $12,000? What happens if, then they can say, well, guess what? Our fleet is up to date. We have more reliable vehicles. We have half of them are still under warranty, so we now know that we can cut our budget back a little bit. Just last night, Chief Rondo cut $50,000 off his budget.
Hmm.
Isn't that nice of him?
It was. Well, I'm sure it was nice for the taxpayers.
Yeah, nice for him too. He said that his dispatch unit, he said he thinks he has enough money now so that the $50,000 that they were going to ask for this year, he said we can do without it. There you go. So, and people don't see the little pieces like that happen. And I'm going to hold Representative Deshays' feet to the fire. When the tax bills come out, I want to make sure that they are what he says. I'm walking the fence and saying it could be one of the smallest increases we've had in recent years. It could be flat. It could be a tiny bit smaller. He seems to think that it's a lock, that it's going to be less.
Well, the school part anyway.
Yeah. The school part is helping the town.
Right.
The school part was the bigger problem last year. The town was in better shape last year. Our budget is a little bit up this year, more than I would have liked, but it's only because we are getting such large portions of money from the state, from the federal government. The bonds are very, very low, and we know that the interest rates are starting to go up because of inflation. So now's the time to act on things when we can save 50 cents on the dollar. Things that now we won't have to worry about pump stations for 50 years or 60 years or 70 years. Now we won't have to worry about a new electrical infrastructure. That's all done. So the town has picked and chosen the right time. Our electrical contract, 14 cents a kilowatt. Is what the user pays soup to nuts in the end. Thank goodness we did it before all of a sudden gas prices, because gas prices and electrical prices are all tied together.
Right.
And most of your large plants in the country run on natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
And so by locking in for 5 years now, they hit it just right.
What do you think about...
Do you know, I've been here, I haven't been here, but I built a new heating system in my house 14 years ago.
Okay.
And our electric rate has stayed flat almost for 14 years. I know, because I monitor my bills by the nickel. And that's amazing in this day and age.
Yeah, it is.
I know that Eversource and all, they've gone from, they've probably almost doubled in that 14-year period.
Oh, easily.
And ours has stayed relatively flat.
Yeah, Eversource is up about 19 cents.
Yeah.
By the time you're all done with their fees and charges and
yep.
this, that, and the other thing.
Yep.
It's up there. It's top 10 in the country.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's kind of move on. We got just a couple of minutes left. What's the difference between a reserve fund and a non-capital reserve fund? For instance, number 48 there, Water Resources Non-Capital Reserve Fund, as opposed to the Wastewater Capital Reserve Fund.
Okay, so a capital reserve fund is used to replace equipment.
Okay.
And a non-capital reserve fund can be used for maintenance or other expenses.
Okay, so like capital expenditures when you, in the business world.
Correct.
Okay, so you have a CapEx budget and a non-CapEx budget.
So now here's an example of something different. The electric, we're going to do a reconstruction of the Turtle Island Road. So there's a very, very old line system out there, and we're just replacing that line system. It's going to cost the taxpayers $270,000, but it's not going to cost $270,000 because we collect more money in our rates than what it costs to maintain our system.
Right.
So they end up with a reserve fund that they can use to replace lines when they need to and not have to go to the taxpayer and say, we need $270,000 that's going to cost you money. That Warren article is just saying, as people in town, will you let us spend the money we have?
Okay.
To fix these lines, because these lines are 60 years old and they need to be replaced.
So it's important to read the Warren articles carefully because not all of them are, and a lot of them here have estimated tax rate impact.
Yep.
And a lot of them, are zero.
Yep.
In fact, the water lines we were just talking about from the Water Enterprise Fund.
Yep.
Tax rate of zero.
So here's the electric power reconstruction of Turtle Island Road. To see if the town will vote to raise and appropriate the sum of $270,000 for the purpose of reconstructing the overhead distribution system on the Turtle Island Tap, which includes the areas of Camp Road, Lady Frances Drive, Wishing Well Lane, and Governor Shores Road. The amount, $270,000. See, so the beginning it says, to see if the town will raise and appropriate that sum. That is very misleading to a lot of the taxpayers, because then if you read at the bottom, it says, the amount of $270,000 shall be funded from the Electric Enterprise Fund surplus. That's money that is in the Enterprise Fund, that is money that is collected from all the ratepayers and goes into a fund for future expansion. And it says, this expenditure will not result in any increase on the tax rate.
Okay.
So it's important for people to look at those closely. And why do you think the Board of Selectmen voted for it 5-0? It's not going to make the taxes go up. And we're going to have a safer, better electrical system for the folks in that area. You have to upgrade your electric every 60 years.
If you can give me an answer in the next 15, 20 seconds, how the electrical chargers working out?
Everything is in place. They have to wait until the springtime to run the wires and install the electrical panels. They don't do that in the winter.
Right. Okay.
It's a water issue.
So hopefully this tourist season we should have some chargers.
I've been told by Mr. Ford that spring, early summer, they'll be in, and my electric car is coming in a week.
Oh, finally.
Finally. 13 months I've waited.
13 months.
13 months.
I know it's been a while, but I had no idea.
Yep.
COVID is affecting everything. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Deshaies, Wolfboro Select Board member, thank you for your time and keeping us on the straight and narrow and up to date.
All right. Thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you. 1 o'clock. News is next.